It's 7 o'clock. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. You know what that means. It's time for Here and Now with Rachel C. Joining me on the program this evening, writer, comedian, and producer of the Queer Queens of Comedy, Poppy Champlin. We're going to kick things off tonight with a little something something from Locate S1. This is Personalia. personalia. That's a fun one. You're listening to Here and Now with Rachel C. on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm Rachel C. coming to you from Radio Free Brooklyn's East Harlem Outpost, a.k.a. my living room. Yes, we are still taking precautions and measures. We are reopening in phases. Rest assured, we are taking care of ourselves during the COVID-19 crisis, as I hope you are. Great way to keep up to date and up to speed with everything that's happening with Radio Free Brooklyn is to sign up for the newsletter. Go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/newsletter. Keep up on with the latest happenings. We've got a lot of material coming your way. Just because we've been on, you know, pause doesn't mean things have not been happening. So please consider signing up. So this is the show that celebrates live performance culture and activism in the arts. This is the point in the program where I usually tell you about things to go out and see and do. Now I'm going to tell you about some things to stay at home and do. Former guest of the show, Fury Young, has been producing a series of virtual benefit shows to provide PPE to incarcerated peoples. As you may recall, Fury is the force behind the Die Jim Crow project. Check out diejimcrow.com. His next benefit show is on July 5th. Sunday, July 5th, you go to diejimcrow.com and you can stream it. Really fabulous lineup of performers he's got there. It is free to watch. If you want to just stream it and check it out, it is free. But donations are suggested, and those donations are going to provide PPE for incarcerated individuals. This go-around, they're working on getting K95 masks to San Quentin because San Quentin is particularly hard hit right now. But check out the performance. Consider making a donation if you are able. No amount is too small. And learn a little something about the Die Jim Crow Project. It's a really cool thing. I know I enjoyed learning about it. So, this week, I had the opportunity to talk to the incredible talent that is Poppy Champlin. Let's give our conversation a listen. I'm here now with Rachel C. on Radio Free Brooklyn. So joining me on the program this week is Poppy Champlin. Poppy has appeared on Showtime, Logo, one of my favorites, Comics Unleashed, Comedy Central, VH1, HBO, Oprah. She was a winner of America's Funniest Real Woman on The Joan Rivers Show. She's also a writer, producer of the Queer Queens of Comedy Troupe. Really, really funny. Comedy group you should check out. She's performed internationally. She teaches stand-up comedy in her native Rhode Island. Poppy, you've been everywhere and done like everything. I could just like, your CV could probably take up a good bulk of this show. Thank you so much for being on the program this evening. It's a real honor to talk to you tonight.
Thanks, Rachel.
So, as I mentioned, you've done so much. You're a native of Rhode Island, and you studied, from what I did my homework, you studied theater there, and from there went out to the famed Second City Training Center out in Chicago, and yep. From there out to LA, and you did do some theater. You did musical theater. You were featured in Babe, a musical, Titanic, the musical. When did the interest in comedy start? Were you just always interested in comedy and you just happened to go to the theater route as an undergrad, or how'd that all start?
Yeah, I mean, it started in high school. My sister was in theater in high school and she had so many friends, and I just thought, well, that sounds like a fun thing to do. So I went into theater in high school, and then I remember being in this play, The Pied Piper of Hamelin, and I was a fairy that came out of a tree, and I had to sing a song, and I came out of the tree, and I was singing the song, and I was jumping across these benches on the stage, and one of the benches broke as I was dancing on it, and it went out from underneath me, and I, for some reason, I just kept singing and went right along. And I was like, wow, hey, I had some pretty good instincts there to just keep going. And then when I got into college, I was going to play basketball for the University of Rhode Island, which I did. I played 2 years of basketball. And then I had to pick my major. And I thought, well, there's no professional sports yet. It shows you how old I am. And so I went right into, I went back to theater. And I started writing monologues. I was interested in stand-up comedy, and I liked it. And I started writing a monologue, and I asked if I could put it in the cabaret. And the director was like, no, it's not good enough. And I'm like, and so she's like, rewrite it. So I didn't get it in that cabaret, but the next cabaret that came up, I wrote another one. And it was all about fish. And since I'm from Rhode Island and the Ocean State and the University of Rhode Island, kelp, kelp, is there a sturgeon in the house? It was all these ponds that smelled. Yeah. And, but it was good. It was good. 135 of them, bang, 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 bang. And the people went nuts. And I stole the show every night. And it was like, oh, this is it. This is what I'm doing. And it was a musical. So I was into comedy and music. So it was musical comedy was my thing. So
yeah, I've noticed watching so many of your videos, and I recommend listeners checking out Poppy's videos. There's a plethora that you can see.
And
music,
YouTube.
Yeah, music kind of works its way into your material. And it seems to work. A lot of the acts featured in the Queer Queens of Comedy, it works its way in there too. Is that seems pretty intentional. The fun, not just music, but also sounds.
I got a lot of sounds inside of me. I don't know what goes on. I got sound effects. I got bird calls. Yeah.
Exactly, and like then, sound effects. Like your voice, you're really using your voice there a lot.
Yeah, I use it a lot, and it just that's what it wants to do. And I think creativity is, you know, why stifle it? You know, if it wants to come out, let it come out. So, and then I decided, you know, actually do music and put songs in my act. So now I was supposed to be hosting the Theater by the Sea down here in Matunic. This summer I was supposed to host the cabaret the whole summer, and damn it, the whole season is canceled.
Yeah.
So I was going to be singing a lot this summer, and I was looking forward to it, but not happening. But anyway, yeah, so I put it in my act.
Right. What was that like coming from Rhode Island and then going to and kind of like falling into theater there deciding, oh, well, I guess, you know, I'll major in theater, and finding yourself with the Second City to see, you know, Second City troupe? Because that must talk about like, yeah, I still do theater, and then like landing at Second City. That must have, was that overwhelming at all, or was that?
It was such a ridiculousness. I called him up, and I'm like, I want to be on the main stage at Second City, you know.
Just
and they're
kinda
like, well, come on. They're like, come on out and audition. And I'm like, so they just okay. Like,
you went here, and they went higher than that.
Yeah. So I was like, but I don't have a place to stay. And they're like, the lady, this is like the secretary. She's like, well, you can stay with me. I'm like, what? Like, yeah. You can come out, you can stay with me. I'm like, okay. So here I am, little country bumpkin from Rhode Island. I'm like, I'm going to Chicago, and I'm gonna go audition for Second City. I just, you know, I had to do something because I was doing stand-up here, and I had reached that Peter principle where I can only go as high as the ceiling goes, and I couldn't go any higher in Rhode Island. So I was like, I'm going. So I went out there, I auditioned, you know how you audition and they put your name up on the board later that day. And so I look at my name is on the board, and I'm like, oh my God, I got it. I passed it. I'm in Second City. And they're like, no, you just passed. So you could get in our training center so we can teach you. I'm like, oh. So I'm paying you, I'm paying them $150 bucks a month to take the training center. And I'm like, but I don't have a place to stay. And the lady's like, you can stay with me. So that's how it all started.
Oh, I doubt they'd offer you that over at Upright Citizens Brigade.
How does that work?
I don't know. I doubt it. I doubt anybody there. Well, you could sleep on my couch.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I know. It was so weird. It was awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, wow, but that, talk about keeping you on your toes though over at Second City, I imagine. Talk about really intensive improv training.
And very intensive, so much. And I'm trying to teach it myself right now in this class that I'm teaching here in Rhode Island. I made up my own class. I'm going to teach improv your way to success. And I'm using quantum leap thinking and improv and stand up, and I'm putting it all together to make a class. And I'm like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. but I'm trying. I'm improvising. It really is just thinking on your feet.
Yeah, I've often felt as someone who studied improv at one point, it's probably the one thing everyone should take once.
Yeah.
Take an intro to improv class, whatever your profession is. Just take it, because being able to think on your feet, it's a skill you should have. Are you not good at speaking publicly? Take an improv class. You'll be more comfortable speaking in a group. Are you someone who can't make decisions very easily? Just take an improv. Everyone should take one intro to improv class.
Exactly. Because
you'll fall back on it.
Yeah, exactly.
And if nothing else, you'll discover you really like it, and you'll just have so much fun.
Definitely do have fun.
If you find out you're a really gifted improv actor. If you're just tuning in now, this is Here Now with Rachel C. My guest this week is the one and only Poppy Champlin. If you missed any of tonight's broadcast for whatever reason, or you just want to hear the whole thing all over again, tune in Monday to RFB2 at noon for the rebroadcast. We're talking about just how everything kind of got started and how you made your way over to the Second City folks over in Chicago, and how you're teaching improv. You went back to Rhode Island ultimately. Where you're from, to teach improv. That's over at the Courthouse Center for the Arts.
That's stand-up. I'm teaching stand-up over there. Yeah. They're very different.
Which is another thing. I think a lot of people don't realize stand-up is something that you can study. It really is its own. There's a technique to it.
It's a not lot just, of writing.
Yeah, it's not just, I feel I'm funny, I'm going to get up and be funny. Which, if you feel you're funny and you feel motivated and called to do it, I guess try it, but let's talk about that a little bit. It is a lot of writing. There's some organization that goes into doing stand-up.
Yeah, yeah. It's really, the classes are really, of course I made that up too as I went along, but now, but I've been doing it for so long now. I've had probably 40 students, in different, I don't like to have more than 6 per class. That's about all I can handle. But, it's good that they come in wanting to be funny, knowing that they're funny, thinking that they're funny, and that remains to be seen. But then I corral their strengths, and find out what is the funny that they're bringing, and then it's a lot of writing. I tell them to bring in everything that they think is funny, everything, and then write some more about what's funny. And then we refine it in class, and then other people help, and give in feedback, and, so it's a process, and it's only a 6-week class. And at the end of the 6 weeks, we do a show.
Wow.
So it's pretty major, and a lot of them get freaked out and they get scared and they're like, I don't want to do the show. And some have bailed on the show, and some have said they were going to bail, but they stay and they do the show. And, usually everyone makes it through really good, because we edit it. We edit it until it is really good.
Good, good. Wow. So most stick it out. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
They do. They want to quit. And some do, but most stick it out.
So, over the years, you've been everywhere and on everything, and done so much over the years. And, try to, maybe narrow this question a little bit. But you were a female performer, and maybe let's talk about that a little bit more. How that's changed, then into now, what you feel like the progression's been like, especially in comedy, because and I've had so many friends who were women in comedy and did this over the years, and they've just, you know, described kind of like how things have changed over the years. What's it been like? I don't want to say that journey, but for lack of a better word, that journey as a female comic, you know, over the years, and how have things shifted at all? Have things that, are there more opportunities? Have, you know, I mean, Claire, you're a producer, you produce a comedy troupe. Are there more producing or opportunities for women to actually kind of like pull the strings, produce shows, actually, you know, kind of form their own troops? Are there more genuine opportunities for that now? Because, you know, we still hear a lot about, you know, the kind of, you know, the stuff that women have to put up with in comedy specifically, you know, as a genre and as a performance art genre, that like their male counterparts don't necessarily. Yeah. So, like,
well, you know, I would say to put it, you know, in the beginning, I had to fight for every minute of stage time I could get. And it wasn't easy to get it because it's a male dominated scene, mm-hmm. and the male also is a male dominated audience.
Right.
So the producers want the males to be satisfied with what they hear. So, you know, a man is going to relate to a man more than he's going to relate to a woman. So as times have changed and women have become more engaged in going to the audience, becoming an audience member, you know, that has helped female comedians, because females in general want to come out to the comedy show and they don't give a shit if their boyfriend thinks it's funny or not. Whereas they used to really give a shit, you know, and they wouldn't, you know, the guy would sort of control who's laughing at what. So now, you know, it's a different style of comedies, you know, finds their audience. So every comedian, I learned that from Bill Hicks once. Like, Bill Hicks was like walking the crowd. I'm like, Bill, how are you able to keep getting booked back? Because everyone wanted Bill Hicks. Mm-hmm. But he would walk a crowd in Chicago. I would like sit there and half the crowd would leave by the time he was done, mm-hmm. because he was so offensive. And he's like, it doesn't matter. He goes, your crowd will find you. You do what you do and your crowd will find you. Mm-hmm. So that's true, I think, for males and females. However, I do think it's still harder for females to get the spot. Like my spots, I produce my own show, but I can only get a Sunday matinee or a Thursday or a Wednesday or a Tuesday. They're not giving me a Friday or a Saturday. They're giving that to the dudes who, I don't know. I don't know who they're giving it to anymore. I don't really, you know, I don't really care. I still would love to be like a traveling comic selling out huge auditoriums, and I could, but nobody ever saw my... I had one agent who saw my talent in LA and he was going to make me a huge star. And then he went crazy and into the nut house. And so that never transpired. So, but I could do it. Like, if you go and look at my stadium show, it's like the best. I mean, I could do it, but nobody ever saw it and harnessed me up to send me out there to make the thousands and millions of dollars. So,
well, that's another point to make there. You have performed in front of packed stadiums, the audience.
Yeah, big ones. Yeah.
And I think you're hitting on something that I've heard also, like, artists of other mediums talk about, like musicians also. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, we've done that. It's just, okay, where's like the person, the management at the management level that books us that right. over and over again? Where is it at that management level that, you know, that's of, the, props that's us the, up there.
That's the lucky component. That's the luck, the part of luck where the right guy sees you at the right time or gal and pushes you forward and wants to make money off of you and sees the potential to make money off of you and then pushes you in front of the right people to make it happen at the right time. It's a lot of timing.
But
I was close.
Easily. I think it's worth mentioning also, once again, check out what Poppy's done online, because I think as we all know, we're all aware, kind of hard to like ignore this next sort of topic. We're all kind of cooped up here without shows to go to, and I think people are gonna be real hungry for things to go and see, and
yeah,
allowed to, which brings me to my next point. You've been touring and touring, and I think you had some dates booked for this year, which had to, I mean, better safe than sorry. We all had to kind of,
yeah, I was in. Bummed out about
and
that.
But I think, you know, I think a lot of opportunities are going to be presenting themselves in some interesting and unique ways as, you know, performance opportunities start to present themselves once again, once it's safe to do so. You do have something scheduled for September of this year in Syracuse at the Funny Bone. It's one of the Queer Queens of Comedy shows. That is because Syracuse is a little ahead of the rest of New York City. We are anticipating that show will happen.
I'm hoping.
So keep an eye out for Poppy Champlin and the Queer Queens of Comedy in Syracuse at the Funny Bone, which actually brings me to the next thing topic. You produce a comedy troupe called the Queer Queens of Comedy. One thing I noticed by the time, I mean, it was happening prior to the 90s, but by the time like the late 90s started rolling around, a lot of folks, like you mentioned, you know, the opportunities for stage time weren't necessarily available to, you know, women. You started seeing a lot of shows produced by women that were, you know, basically comedy shows that featured women. So you had like Ladies Night in Comedy, but featured all, you know, a show would feature, you know, just, you know, female comedic acts. And it was sort of a way for women to provide opportunities for stage time for themselves.
Yeah.
Which was, and I mean, by the time the 90s rolled around, you know, kind of like alt comedy came around. And a lot of times something could just be alt because you weren't just like the straight white guy on the stage there. So you didn't actually take much to be too alt. You didn't have to have some Kaufman-esque kind of approach to your jokes and stuff like that. But so I know you kind of produced, and that you are producing, this troupe of queer women. If you want to talk a little bit about that, I mean I think what's very cool about it is you're basically providing the platform for, you know, out women. If you want to talk a little bit about what came about.
Well,
that together,
you know, it's a kind of a small group, but it certainly is growing, gay women comedians. And I came out in 2000 at the Improv in Hollywood, and haven't really looked back because I really got tired of saying my boyfriend this and my boyfriend that, you know, just, you know, lying basically on stage, which doesn't work for comedy. And you know, it's been going really well. I felt like I grew quickly, and I was one of the best, and you know, my ego has to say that in order to keep spurring me on to greater things. I have to say I am one of the best, and so therefore I deserve some of the best stuff. And so I wanted this club in DC, the Birchmere, and I saw some of my compatriots going there and selling it out and selling it and being a headliner and having good shows, and I went there and I said I want to headline this club. And like the owner was like, I don't know your name. I don't think enough people know you to give you a night of your own. And I was like, well, how about if I bring two other lesbian comedians, and then we'll call ourselves the Queer Queens of Comedy, and then let's see if we'll sell it out. And he took a chance and he said, okay. And so we sold like over 450 tickets. So that was a good telling sign that this was going to work. And so I just kept doing it, and we do it all over the country.
That's great.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun, and it's really funny. Like I said, I've noticed a lot of the other acts on the bill will incorporate the musical comedy elements of that you incorporate.
Some of them do, not all of them.
There it's a lot, it's pretty hilarious though. I have to say a lot of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a certain personal penchant for funny stuff, for funny songwriting. It's kind of, you know, it's, you know, I grew up with this kind of notion, this idea of musical theater being kind of a stuffy thing. And when you can hear like musical theater being actually really funny and smart and kind of current with its
lyrics,
it's really super amusing.
Yeah, my latest song that I wrote was to I Want My MTV, and I changed it to I Want My PPE. I want my PPE.
What? Thank you so much for joining me this evening on the program. What would you, well, we know about the show happening. It will happen in Syracuse. What other plans, assuming, I know where you, we talked about this as we were getting kind of prepping for the show this evening, where you are right now as of the broadcast in Rhode Island, you are in stage or phase three.
We're about to hit stage three. Yeah.
Of reopening. And for listeners who, if you're kind of in this state of like, I can't even keep straight what's phase.
Right.
Entertainment and recreation are like phase four. So although, I mean, as we know, like it's interesting, Dave Chappelle just did something.
Yeah, I saw something. Technically, I saw that a little bit.
He technically did a show, but he was in an area that was outdoors. He did a socially distanced comedy set, which he was able to do because of where he was in time of year. When, you know, in a place like Rhode Island, you might be able to do something like that because you said you're sort of out doing stuff. Do you have you had any thoughts? Do you have any, assuming you can kind of enter phase three on time and kind of keep things safe, have you, do you, what are your plans in terms of returning to getting in front of an audience? Because I imagine as someone who does stand up and that's what you do, you're just, there's a desire to get back in front of an audience and just.
I mean, I had a couple people over to my house when I did my COVID comedy show. So I've had like 3 and 5. So I'm going to try and build it up to like 10 and 12 to 15. And then a friend of mine says, like, we can use her yard and we might get like 30, like do a summer concert series and do 30 in somebody's yard or something like that.
Right. You're in New York City. It might be there's a park and then you get a megaphone and you yell to that person over there and they yell back, did you hear that? And you kind of pass the joke along and you hope no one calls 311 and complains about noise and no one shows up to do anything because the cops are mad that people protested last week about something. Assuming the park isn't padlocked because they forgot to unlock it for phase two, but but that's like one of the beautiful things about being in certain parts of the country right now. So, but what we're, what, so that's sort of the, I guess that's kind of where we're at with that. So that you have been doing some small, like where it's safe kind of house,
just
quote like unquote parties.
House parties.
Right. Right. And, as far as teaching goes, you're able to do that or it's anticipated that teaching is going to happen and continue to happen.
You know, I at the Courthouse Center for the Arts here in Kingston, Rhode Island, I'm pretty sure if I only have 6 students, we can socially distance well in that space and I can teach. And then by the time the 6 weeks is up, hopefully we can do the show. I'm just kind of going on that premise.
Right, right. Is there, what other sort of things, is there anything you'd like to add in terms of like sort of things? Is, I mean, is there anything you've been working on while sort of quarantined, or I don't know how quarantined you've been. I mean, you're in a spot where you're fortunate enough where I guess you can kind of be on lockdown, but not be too locked down as long as you're healthy.
It's amazing. Like I have felt like I have been pretty much free the whole time because I live in the woods and, I decided quickly to get another job because, you know, living like I do, you know, it's purely on shows. So I needed to do something else. So I decided to start another business called Garden Starters. And I started making raised beds from salvaged wood from construction sites. So I would go around to construction sites and take the wood out of the dumpster and bring it home. And then somebody said they wanted one, so I would build it. I would get all the wood. I'd make the measurements. I'd make the cuts, take all the wood to their house, and then screw it together in place and make these raised beds. And that led me into landscaping and stonework. And so I'm doing all kinds of stuff like that.
So you're like seriously keeping busy. You're like kind of, you went from basketball to theater to like stand up. And now you're just like, okay, I got to find something new. You're like doing masonry now.
Yes.
All these decades later.
I have to. No, I don't know why. My mind wants to keep working.
That's great, though. I love it. What are some more memorable moments for you as a stand-up, as a performer over the years? I know that must be, like, hard to pin down.
That is. But, you know, what came to mind was I was doing a show for Yuck Yucks in Rochester, New York. Uh-huh. And they had, you know, Yuck Yucks was a chain that was all over Canada.
Right.
And in Rochester. And I was opening for Richard Belzer. And I was new. I was very new. And it was one of my first tours, I think. And I remember being in the elevator with him. And I was like, I was starstruck. Uh-huh. And I was like, hey, you know, what advice can you give to an upcoming comedian, you know? And he's like, get out of the business. You know, I'm like, oh, great. So, I mean, I have had a lot of stars, you know. I got like Robin Williams. I remember when I first tried to live in New York, when I first started, I tried to live there and do comedy, but I brought my fish stick. I thought that I was being a comedian with that first fish stick that I did in college. Yeah. Kelp is there a sturgeon in the house?
Right.
And I go to the improv in New York and Dangerfields, and I was doing my fish stick, and people are like, what the hell are you doing? And I'm like, oh, this is funny. And they're like, that's not comedy. So I had to start writing jokes. And unfortunately, I couldn't write them fast enough and get good enough to stay in New York. I had to come back to Rhode Island and figure something else out. And that's when I started producing my own shows and figuring out how to be a producer. You know, if no one books me, I'll book myself. You know?
The fish stick, I mean, that worked in Rhode Island because that was that audience. Yeah. And they get
they loved it.
And New York just, you know, as a native New Yorker, we might not have ever heard of half the fish you were mentioning.
Yeah, right.
Like, we don't know. So it's like, again, knowing your audience, you know.
exactly. But I figured it out. Took a while. Takes a long time. In the beginning, they said it takes like at least 6 years before you can really kind of call yourself a comedian. Wow. You know,
I'm glad you stuck it out, and I'm glad you didn't let a bad experience in New York City discourage you, because it can be a harsh place here.
Oh yeah.
And
definitely
we have some real assholes here too. Don't let them get you.
good for you for doing it. I try not to.
Oh boy. Thank you so much for being a part of the show here this evening. It was a real honor to talk to you.
And I did just, I guess I will promote one more thing if that's okay.
Yeah, go right ahead.
There's a thing that I did shoot in New York at Gotham, and it's called Pride Parade of Stand-Up. And it's all great New York comics. And I got into it too, I guess, because Jessica Kirsten suggested me. And so, but it's out on Sirius now. And it's out on, what is it? What's that other one? Laugh Dog or, I don't know. But it's on Sirius and some other comedy, you know, channels that you can buy into and stuff.
All right, let's keep an eye out for that. Once again, Poppy Champlin. And you can check out everything she's up to. You have a website.
Yeah, poppychamplin.com or poppycockprod.com.
Check those out. And you can sign up also for to get updates about what you're doing via emails and things like that.
Yeah, if you sign up for my email list and tell me what city, I'll put you right into the database.
There you go. Great way to keep up with everything that's happening.
Yeah.
With Poppy. Thanks again, Poppy. Thanks for being
Thanks,
part
Rachel.
Of the show. Great
All
talking
right.
to you.
Have a good night.
You too.
Take care.
You're listening Here Now with Rachel C. That was my convo with Poppy Champlin. Thank you, Poppy, for being a part of the program. One positive about chatting with guests via Zoom as opposed to, you know, live in the studio is that I can talk with people who are all over the place as opposed to people who are just happen to be in New York for that moment. So, thanks again. Just trying to look at things on the upside, guys. It's real important right now. I want to remind you all that we are listener-supported Radio Free Brooklyn, and I want to thank you all for supporting us. If you are able to do so right now, because I know this is a tough time financially for people, I would encourage you to flirt with that donate button. You can give a one-time donation, or you can actually arrange to do some monthly donations. Maybe you like stuff. You can go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/donate, and you're going to find some cool t-shirts, mugs, and other swag that we can send you as a way to say thanks. You can also make a donation on the go. If you text RFB Give 5, that's number 5 to 44321, you can give a donation right out of your digital wallet. Real easy. If you are someone who's using Amazon right now, you can also choose us via their Smile program, amazon.com/smile. Find Radio Free Brooklyn as a nonprofit you wish to support, and a percentage of some of your purchases will go to support Radio Free Brooklyn. That costs you nothing. Guys, sweet deal all around. I'll be a spaceman way up on the moon. Very sweet deal all around. And once again, thank you for your support. Okay, let's hear some music. We had the jokes, we had the laughter. With Poppy, let's get to some tunes. This is Coin from the Bobby Lees.
Now I'll never forget. Just hold my hand until the very end. And I said, oh no, I don't want it to end. Not now, when it just began. Come on and give me just a little more time, because I want to die with your hand in mine. We'll be right back.
album from the Bobby Lees drops on July 17th. Check that one out. Up right now. This is Purple Smoke with Air Balloon.
Well, somewhere in my air balloon, well, I can hear these clouds, I can feel the tunes, and I'm halfway to the other sky. Well, I'm deep within the all-seeing eye. Way past this highest hill, green grass that goes and daffodils, and slip into another dream on my magic bus, on my mind machine. And I'm go faster, let me drive past ya, keep me rocking, keep me rolling, my fire echoes to the sun. Somewhere in my air balloon, well, I can hear these clouds calling back for you. And I'm halfway to the other sky, being watched within the all-seeing eye. I'm gonna fly your soul. I'm gonna send your body home. I'm gonna ride your soul. I'm gonna send you home. Well, somewhere in my air balloon, well, somewhere in my air balloon, well, somewhere in my air balloon, with you, with you, with you, I'm gonna fly with you, with you, with you. Let me drive past ya, keep me rocking, rolling, thinking. My radar echoes to the sun. Somewhere in my air balloon, somewhere in my air balloon, somewhere in my air balloon, with you, with you, with you, I'm gonna fly with you, with you, with you.
You're listening to Here Now with Rachel C. on listener-supported Radio Free Brooklyn. Just want to remind you that if you missed any of tonight's broadcast or just want to hear the whole thing all over again, you can tune into RFB2 this coming Monday at noon. All shows formerly broadcast are archived here on the show's homepage. I thank you all for joining me again on this lovely Thursday evening. Stay tuned for Frequency Theory with Tom Tenney from 8 to 10. Also want to remind you that you can take us with you on the go. We've got apps for iPhone and Android devices. And also, once again, if you are able to do so, lend your support Flirt with that donate button. She's been watching you. I think she thinks you're cute. Give her a little click. All right. Let's get back to some music. Up next, got a little something from a band I'm really digging. This is Thick with Home. just heard Thick up right now, New Myths, Bad Connection. Looking at the time, and it looks like I got time for one more. I'm going to leave you tonight, my beautiful listeners, with new music from Love Honey. This is Rock Bottom. That album dropped. Go clap that one. I'll see you right back here next week, Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Stay safe, y'all.